Just a little bit tonight, just to try to give you something to think about. I want to challenge you, but I also want to encourage you and try to be a blessing to you also. In our missions month, I want us to just think about, again, the importance of missions. So this is a missions message. Say that 10 times, right? And I want us to think about something here along the lines of missions this evening. Let me ask you two questions. How are missionaries? Let me try to use the right English. How are missionaries funded? How are missionaries funded? Come on, just talk to me. All right, churches. But how are missionaries really funded? Through God's people. All right, I don't know why, but God has chosen to use us to fund His work. Us, sinners, saved by grace. He has chosen every single Christian, I believe this, He's chosen all of us to fund His work. How is the Lord chosen to fund the church? It's through the people. It's through the people that God has raised up within the churches to fund the churches. And so, God could have planted a tree in the back of every church, a $100 or a $1,000 bill tree where we could walk out there and just, you know, take off the dollars, the $1,000 or whatever, and we would have that ability to do that, but He hasn't done that. God chooses to use individuals for His purpose. Ordinary people. There's a song out there I've heard about God using ordinary people. And He uses ordinary people to be missionaries. He uses ordinary people to fund the missionary plan and program. He uses ordinary people within the churches to fund and take care of the church. And so, like it or not, ladies and gentlemen, you have been elected and I have been elected by God to fund our missionaries that are on that wall back there. And so it's up to us. It's our job. It's our responsibility. It's not, don't look across the room or look at out there at somebody else. Look at your own heart and say, God, You have chosen me to help fund our missionaries. Now, one person can't do it all. We know that, right? One person, two people, just a small handful of people within a church cannot do that. We're not a rich church. We don't have a lot of rich people within our church. We don't have any rich people within our church when it comes to monetary funds and things. I believe we're all rich spiritually speaking. Amen. We're all rich spiritually. But when it comes to the physical things, the money, as far as I know, we don't have any millionaires in our church, as far as I know. There could be somebody out there that I'm not aware of. But we don't have the ability to do that. We don't have people giving, you know, writing checks for $100,000 or $500,000 or a million. We don't have that here. But what we do have is faithful people giving what they can. That's the blessing. And so the question tonight is, are you doing what you can do? That's all God expects of all of us, what we can do. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is writing to this church of Corinth. As we know, it was a struggling church. It was an upside down church. It had all kinds of problems. And Paul is trying to encourage. He's trying to straighten this church out. He's trying to be of help to the church. He says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for here hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. It's a blessing to be in church. Bless the message as it goes forth now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are laborers together with God. We're working in conjunction with the creator of the universe. Isn't that what it says? We are laborers together with God. Yes? We are God's, it says ye are God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. We are labor, we're working together with the Lord for a purpose. What is that purpose? Well, we know that missions is the mission of the church. I said this past Wednesday night, we need to have a vision for missions. And we need to think about it. We need to pray about that. But to think that we are laborers together with God, working alongside with the Lord God Almighty, just trying to do the best we can, I believe that you tithe and you give the missions, and giving the missions is somewhat of a sacrifice, even though I'm going to read something that David Livingston once said this. He was a great missionary to Africa in the early to mid 1800s. And he says this. He wrote this in his journal on an occasion concerning his selfless life. David Livingston was an amazing, if you've never read anything about him, he was an amazing missionary. Amen. That traveled across Africa. He was a doctor. He was a physician. But he was also not only a physician when it came to the physical needs of the people, but he was also a doctor to the spiritual needs of the people. This is what he said. People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paying back a small part of the great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own blessed reward in helpful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with the word in such a view and with such a thought. It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. I like that. We talk a lot about, well, we sacrifice and we give over and above our tithe, and that's a sacrifice. David Livingston said, no, it's a privilege. Because you can't repay God anyway. You can never repay God for what he has done for you. You won't even come close to repaying God for what he has done for you. We are indebted to the Lord for our salvation. The story is told of a college professor who visited the Fiji Islands. Being an agnostic, he critically remarked to an elderly chief, and he says this, "You're a great leader, but it's a pity that you've been taken in by these foreign missionaries. They only wanted to get rich through you. No one believes the Bible anymore. People are tired of the threadbare story of Christ dying on a cross for the sins of mankind. They know better now, and I'm sorry that you've been so foolish as to accept their story." The old chief's eyes flashed as he answered, "See that great rock over there? On it we used to smash the heads of our victims. Notice the furnace next to it. In that oven we formerly roasted the bodies of our enemies. If it hadn't been for those good missionaries and the love of Jesus Christ that changed us from cannibals to Christians, you'd never leave this place alive. You'd better thank the Lord for the gospel, otherwise we'd already be feasting on you. If it weren't for the Bible," he said, "you'd now be our supper." What does the Bible, what does the Word of God do? It changes people from cannibals to Christians. It changed the Apostle Paul from a persecutor, even a murderer, to a preacher of the gospel. It changed the gospel message, and the Word of God changes people. When a missionary takes the Word of God and the gospel message to a lost and dying world, it does something. Now, it may take 6 years, like it did with the Kessler family, to get one convert. 6 years. But I forget if it was David Livingston or if it was Adoniram Judson or Hudson Taylor. They spent many more years than that before they got their first. I think it was Adoniram Judson that took several years before they got their first convert. You've got to go to you're going to a foreign land. You got to learn the language. You got to learn the culture. People have to accept you as they find out who you are. Are you serious enough? Are you, or are you just a hypocrite like so many others passing through? People look for things like that. Even when you go and start a church in America, in a brand new town, a brand new area, the people of that area will watch you. They'll watch us. They'll watch the church. They'll watch the pastor. They'll watch the people that carry their Bibles down to that church. They'll listen to your message. They'll watch you to see, are you a real Christian or are you a phony? Are you a hypocrite? Are you an actor? Are you a Pharisee? What are you? And sometimes it takes a long time for people to gain our trust. And that's the way it is on the mission field. But when I saw that passage this morning, for we are laborers together with God, working alongside of God Almighty. And yet people complain about giving to the Lord. People complain about tithing. They complain about giving to missions. And preacher, just leave us alone. We've got our own thing to do. Yeah, you can do a lot when you don't go to church and when you don't tithe. Man, you can buy all kinds of things. You can go out and enjoy all your toys on Sunday. You can buy things that you wouldn't normally buy if you don't tithe and you don't give to missions and you don't come to church. Yeah, there's a lot you can do. But as a Christian, I believe that we're obligated, and it's a privilege for us to be able to give. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6:1. 2 Corinthians 6:1. Again, Paul is writing in his second letter something similar to this. I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to, in his first letter, he's trying to let people know that, hey, we are workers together. This is something that we're doing together. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, he says, we then as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. So again, Paul is emphasizing the fact that we are workers together. We're laborers together with God. We're workers together with him. So the question always is what kind of a worker am I? What kind of a laborer am I? Many jobs hire laborers. They come in and they do whatever needs to be done, pretty much. We used to have laborers that worked for us at Crucible, and they did anything that pretty much, you know, you had to have a job description this long to say all the different things. Because if it wasn't in their job description, they didn't do it. But a laborer just pretty much does whatever needs to be done. That's what we Christians do. We're to have the attitude, look, Lord, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. Pastor, I'll do whatever it is that you need done around here. If there's something physical that needs to be done in a building, if there's something physical around the outside, if there's something that needs to be done, let me do it. I'm just a laborer working with the Lord. That's all I am. That should be the attitude that we have. We're not looking for a high position. We're not looking for a name. We're not looking for a trophy. We're not looking for even an attaboy or an attagirl. Even though we like to maybe, you know, recognize people periodically and say, hey, you did a great job on that. But we're just laborers together. Laborer. Just a simple worker. That's all we are. Just laboring together. It says there again in that passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 1. It's just very simple. It's not a complicated thing. We then as workers together, workers, laborers in 1 Corinthians, workers in 2 Corinthians. We're just here trying to do the best we can for God. Right? Just trying to do the best we can for the Lord. What does God expect from us anyway? Just to do the best you can. That's all. Just be faithful. 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 The question to you that are here tonight and those of you that are listening out there, are you faithful? Are you faithful? Only you know the answer to that. And God knows if you are faithful or not. Or are you one of these Christians that are extremely hit and miss? Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians was I believe, by reading the entire book, if you read that letter Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, it was more of a missions letter from a missionary that ended up in prison because of his testimony for Christ. But he's writing back to this church, and he's thanking them and acknowledging them for what they did for him. The church of Philippi periodically took up offerings and sent them off to Paul. Now, things were done a lot differently back 2,000 years ago. They would take an offering within a church. And then they would designate somebody in that church to literally travel maybe a few miles, maybe several hundred miles to take that offering, whatever it was. It could have been money, it could have been food, it could have been clothing, to take that offering to that person or persons or to another church, possibly. Offerings were gathered in different places and taken down to the church of Jerusalem because they were going through a financial hardship early on during this particular time. But Paul is writing here, and as he ends his letter in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 10, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." That's a problem that many of us have we struggle with. It's called contentment. If you notice the words of Paul very carefully, Paul said, "I had to learn this." I believe that contentment is something that we have to learn. It's something that we have to listen, you're going to struggle with contentment. And everybody's at a different level of contentment. Some people, I mean, they're content with anything. I mean, whatever. There's other people that, like, you know, me sometimes, we struggle with that. But Paul said, I've learned in whatever state that I'm at, whatever is going on in my life. He said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Obviously, in Paul's own mission field, there were times that he had plenty. He was around other Christians. He was around other people. They took care of his needs. There were other times that he literally suffered need. He was hungry. He didn't have all of the fancy foods that you and I have today. We took the missionary family out this afternoon for dinner, for lunch. We were able to sit in a restaurant and have a meal. Paul didn't have those opportunities that we have today. He had to learn this. There was times that he was abased, there were times that there was some want in his need. There were times that he had abundance. I think that's sometime in our own life. There are times that you've had need in your life. And there are other times that you've had abundance. Maybe not a lot of abundance, but there are times that we do have that. And then he says this in verse 13. He says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." That's an attitude that we all need to have. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We get our strength from the Lord, not from ourselves. You and I are not strong enough to live this Christian life. You and I can't live the Christian life. No matter how hard you try, you cannot live the Christian life without the Lord. The only way that you can have the strength to live for the Lord is through the Lord. You cannot live it by yourself. You cannot say, I'm going to try harder today to be a better Christian. No, you need to ask the Lord to help you to be a better Christian. That's the only help that you're going to have. And that's the only thing that's really going to help you is by you asking the Lord, not you trying harder. You can try as hard as you can. You're going to fail every time. But when you say, "Lord, your word says I can do all things through you. Lord, I need your strength. I can't do this without you. I can't get through this problem, this trial, this tribulation, whatever. Lord, I can't deal with this issue in my life. I need your strength and I need your help." I think of missionaries that go from America into a foreign land, and it is completely different. The culture is different. The language is different. You got to learn everything. It's like starting over in life all over again. You got to learn how to talk again. You got to learn how to act around people. You got to learn what other people like and what they don't like. You got to befriend people that you've never met before. But we can do that. Anybody can do that as long as they're following the Lord Jesus Christ. "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Now, when he says communicate, that means that they have literally helped him with some kind of an offering. They helped Paul with his affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Paul is saying, you're the only ones that helped me. You're the only church that really cared about me and took care of my needs. He is thanking them in this letter. Amen. That they were so willing to do that. See, the church of Philippi was a mission-minded church, a mission-hearted church. Amen. And they loved the Apostle Paul. They loved the missionaries that Paul worked with. They saw that Paul was called by God and got on board with Paul. And when they heard that Paul had a need, what did they do? They came and met that need, whatever it was. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once again unto my necessity. 100 miles from Philippi, they gathered up something, whatever it was, money or food or clothing, and they traveled 100 miles to give Paul that offering that he needed. What a blessing that is. Now, they didn't have the fancy bank accounts that we have today, I don't think. And they didn't have all of the abilities that, you know, jump on an airplane, jump on a bus, jump in a car, and phew, drive, you know, 70 miles an hour to go and meet somebody in about an hour and a half. No, they didn't have the ability. Most of the time, they had to walk everywhere they went. But he says, you know, even when I was in Thessalonica, you were there for me. You were there for me. I would never, ever want any of our missionaries to think that we would fail them. I've been here 30 years and we've never failed them yet. If I'm here another 50 years, won't be here for another 50 years. But I don't ever want our church to fail our missionaries. I would hope and pray that we would always be faithful to them. But we can only be faithful to them as you are faithful in your giving. And that I am faithful. We are faithful in our giving. As a church, that's the only thing that we can do. Again, how does God choose to fund his missionaries? Through you and I. Through you and I. And so Paul was actually praising this church for their mission-mindedness. Not because I desire a gift. He wasn't looking for a handout. He wasn't looking for a gift. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. We've heard missionaries say that. We hear that in their letters. I've read it to you. That they say that, hey, you know, we're here on the field and what we see when a soul gets saved, a church is planted and started, people are baptized, that's fruit to our account. Yeah. What we saw this morning in the video was fruit to our account. Yeah. Your account as an individual and also our account as a church. And again, I've said this before, but I believe that someday when we get to heaven, we're going to meet a lot of people on the mission field that were saved, and I believe they're going to come up and thank us. Somehow they know. I don't know how God does it, but somehow I think they know who gives to missions and the church that is faithful and the people that's within the church that are faithful. It's fruit to our account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That's what Paul was telling the church of Philippi, that when Epaphroditus arrived and handed Paul whatever it was that the church collected for him, he said, these things were sent from you. It was an odor of a sweet smell. And it was a sacrifice acceptable. Paul says, I accept this sacrifice. But he also, those last three words, well-pleasing to God. When you and I give to missions, I believe it's well-pleasing to God. Because you're given by what? Faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6 tells us. So when you and I give our missions offering by faith, we're actually pleasing the Lord. And when you and I give, when we give our tithes and we give our missions offering over and above our tithe, this is something that is very, very pleasing to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I would want the Lord to be well pleased with my giving. Don't you want that for you also? Yeah. Amen. Amen. You should want to be a well pleasing, you want to be well pleasing to God. In verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've outlined that little verse. I put it in my Bible. It's very simple. But my God. That's personal. My God. Do you have a, is the Lord Jesus Christ tonight your God? Amen. You can claim him as your God. Amen. He's your God. Paul says, my God. Now, Paul didn't have a monopoly on God. Any Christian, any born-again child of God can claim that God is their God. My God, your God, my God shall supply. That's the provision from God. God is a God of provision. He will provide for you. When he sees your heart and you want to give to missions, do you know what God will do? He'll make sure that you have the supply that you need to give to missions. That's what faith promise giving is all about. Throughout this month, I'm going to preach and teach, and we're going to talk about what the faith promise offering is and how important the faith promise offering is and how the Lord wants a faith promise offering. And so we see that it's a personal thing between my Lord and for me. But God supplies our need. And then it says, according to his riches and glory. Is God ever handcuffed to the point where he can't do something? I don't think so. God can do anything. Can God use anybody that wants to be used? Yes, amen. God can use you. God can use me. God can use anybody that wants to be. Now, if you don't want to be used, how can God use you? Very difficult for God to use somebody who doesn't want to be used. Very difficult for God to use somebody. If you don't want to give, God's not going to force you to give. You're just not going to get the blessings that he wants to give you. You will not get the blessings that God wants to give you if you don't give. So it's according to his riches in glory. The Bible talks about how God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he owns the hills. He owns the entire earth. God is not limited. God doesn't have a limited supply to those that are faithful and really want to be a blessing to others. An example was today. Somebody handed me a check. I'm not going to say who it is. Somebody handed me a check today for $1,000 to be used for somebody or some. If somebody has a specific dire need, somebody gave me a check to be used for somebody. That's how God uses. We are channels in which God can use us. God is looking for a channel to use. He's looking for somebody that he can trust his money with. That person will not squander and spend frivolously the things that God gives us. But how often have we done that? And so God is a personal God. He's a God of provision. He's a God of possession. He's by Christ Jesus. He is a powerful God. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen, Paul says. But he was thanking the church of Philippi for their amazing ability to give just out of their heart. The church of Macedonia was the same way. And other churches that Paul talks about in his writings, churches that were just so willing, people that were willing. Epaphroditus was, you know, probably the church of Philippi says, okay, we've collected this. We need somebody to volunteer to go up to Rome and give this to Paul. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I almost picture Epaphroditus saying, me, choose me, pick me, I'll go. And there was a few others that probably traveled with him, but he was willing to make that long journey from Philippi to Rome to just take that money, that whatever it was that they collected. Epaphroditus was a missionary himself. Amen. Just to be able to do that task, to leave his family, to leave the church and to travel and to be able to be a blessing to the Apostle Paul. That takes a lot of faith and it takes a lot of trusting God. Folks, this month, we need to pray that God would use us, that God would bless us to the point where He will use us to be that channel, to be that person that maybe God will bless you with a sum of money. Usually when we get a check or a raise or something, now let me see, what are all the different things on my list that I could buy with that? How many of us Christians really say, now, wait a minute, what missionary can I be a blessing to? Who in the church can I be a blessing to? I know that this person has a need, and so I'm going to give that money to that person or whatever. How often do we do that? Usually we want to use it for our own enjoyment. God is looking for some people that He can just be, that He can funnel some money through so you can be a blessing. Like I said, to receive that check today from somebody, and I won't say who it is, but it was just a blessing that somebody was willing to do that. Somebody that was just wanted to be a blessing for the Lord. That's what the Christian life is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. Is just being a blessing to somebody else. So this month, as we are early in the month, it's not too early to start praying about what God would have us to do for missions. Amen. So pray. Pray and ask the Lord. Say, Lord, give me wisdom. What do you want me to do for missions this month? Lord, this is what I've been doing. Or maybe you can say, Lord, I haven't been doing anything for missions. Lord, let me start. Give me a starting place, Lord, to start giving to missions. Remember, tithe first, mission second. Tithe first, mission second. 10% of your income first, giving to missions above and beyond that. That's what September this time is all about. And at the end of the month, we're going to pass out these little pieces of paper, and they're not pledge cards. They're just simply little faith promise. You don't put your name on it. You just put down an amount that God has impressed upon your heart through the month, or even prior to September, that you want to give to missions either weekly or monthly or whatever. And then we collect those and we add them up to see how much money is going to be supposedly coming in for missions. And that's how we operate our missionary fund here. It is based upon what you do. And as you give, it allows us as a church to be able to give to our missionaries. I would never, ever want to send off a letter to all of our missionaries or an email or a text saying, sorry, we don't have the funds anymore to help you. You know how many churches have had to do that down through the years? I've known of churches that literally have shut their mission program down because of financial troubles within the church. Simply means that people are not willing to give. And when you're not willing to give to the church and allow the church to function in a way financially that it needs to function, the church has to make a decision. How do we pay the mortgage? We don't have a mortgage, thank you. But how do we do the things that we need to do? I remember years ago, I mean, we struggled just to make our NYSEG bill here. We used to struggle to make a mortgage payment. Struggle to make this payment, struggle to make that payment. God has been good to us down through the years. And I believe it's because we've been faithful to those missionaries right there. Where now we have money in the bank, and when we get a bill, it can be paid immediately. Pretty much regardless of what the bill is. I don't like paying NYSEG. I'm sorry, NYSEG, if you're listening to me tonight, but I don't like paying NYSEG bills. I just don't like paying NYSEG bills. I do like lights, and I do like air conditioning, and I really like heat in the winter. But I wish I didn't have to pay for it. But you know what? We got to pay for it, so it's one of those, I don't know what you call that. It's one of those necessary evils, I guess. But thank God the money is there that we can have heat, and we can even have air conditioning, and we can have LED lights in here, so. But folks, again, pray. What would God have you to do for missions? That's something that you need to pray about, and God will give you that wisdom, knowing what you need to do personally. Don't do what somebody else does. We're not copycat Christians. You do what God tells you to do. Father, again, thank you tonight for the examples we have in the Bible. We do thank you, Lord, for the Apostle Paul and what he wrote to the Church of Corinth and what he wrote to the Church of Philippi. Lord, we thank you for the examples of these churches and how this church of Philippi was so